Welcome to the Calm Nights, Strong Days podcast. With over 30 years in the health and wellness industry, I've realized there's no one-size-fits-all solution for sleep and stress resilience. What affects one person's sleep and ability to handle stress is different for each of us. The stage of life you're in, work and home stressors, and more all affect how your body handles stress and your quality of life. Join me as we explore a variety of tools, strategies, and solutions I've employed with clients over the years in solo episodes, as well as insightful interviews and experts. Together, we'll unravel more pieces of the puzzle, empowering you on your journey to calm nights and strong days. So let's dive into today's episode. Welcome to the Calm Nights, Strong Days podcast. I am your host, Andy Clark, and we have today episode 45, which is the start of a little mini series that I'm doing here, which is about how IFS, internal family systems, plays a part in our sleep and stress. So today, I kind of touched on this a little bit in the last episode, and today I wanted to dive a little deeper into different stories and things that I have seen with clients and how working with IFS has really helped them. So just to quickly recap, internal family systems is where we have different parts to us. Part of me wants to eat a bag of chips, but a part of me wants to be healthy. I find quite often my part that wants to eat that bag of chips at night in the evening is the one that wins over. It is stronger than the one that wants to eat healthy. There's clients I know where they talk about how they have parts that want to go to bed earlier. Well, another part wants to stay up later. And there's all of these parts, and these parts can actually stop you from implementing habits. When you know that you want to implement them, you know that you want to feel more energized in the morning, you want to have better sleeps when you wake, and when you wake up, feel like your battery was charged. You want to, you know, be able to handle the smaller things in your day without feeling any stress from them, and to be able to handle all of the big stressors in your day. And you know that there are certain things that you're doing that may not be beneficial to that goal, but there are parts of you that maybe sabotage them a little bit. And I want this, I just find this is so, so important, because through the years of working with clients, so often I see clients that try and try and try. And I've experienced this myself, which I'll be giving you examples of actually today. And through this time of trying and trying, you start to feel like a failure. You're like, why me? You see your neighbor that's like running marathons, or people that are at the gym and doing all these amazing things, and people that are like, you know, always eating in the healthy food. And you're like, what is wrong with me? You start questioning that. And I've so been in your shoes. I am still there at times, because I'm still continually working with this IFS with myself, with my parts. And it is fascinating, though, when I start looking at through it from a parts lens, that they are parts of me that are actually asking for help, that are trying to protect me. And once you start diving in, your perspective changes so much, and you don't feel like a failure anymore. You actually can start learning and understanding what that part needs, give them that. And then quite often you're able to start taking the steps that you need to get to your goals with sleep and with stress. So I just want to give you some examples. So for me, I have gut issues, and I'm realizing that parts have something to do with that in me. I never in my life, I come from this huge science background. Everything needs to be research science, like black or white, like on paper. It can't be what they call a somatic feeling, where an emotion can actually be affecting certain things in your health. I did not believe any of that until this year. I am 50 years old and I just started believing it within this last year that that is possible. And so I have a lot of gut issues, of which definitely need some science tools and strategies at the same time as I've been working on this IFS piece with it. So my naturopath, who's been helping me with my gut, suggested that I go on a FODMAPS diet. Now, FODMAPS, every letter in that stands for a different food group that people with really irritated guts tend to be irritated from. And she wanted me to take all of those foods out, like an elimination, in order to see if my gut improved and then add in one category at a time, one letter. So F is fructooxylating saccharides or something like that. And so just add in that group of foods in and see if my gut reacts to it. If it reacts to it, then I take all of them out again and have to figure out which ones. But it's usually just one or like a couple of the different categories in the FODMAPs that your gut is irritating to. And if you take those out, then you fix your gut. Then sometimes you can add those foods back in once your gut is healed more. Well, when I resisted so much. As soon as she told me to go on this, I became very resistant. And there was this part of me that started having me eat foods that I never eat. Doritos. So I love chips. That's why I always give that chip example. But Doritos, I love zesty cheese Doritos, but I cannot eat zesty cheese Doritos. Gluten. I've been gluten-free for 30 years. And dairy. I know that these irritate my gut. There was something in me that was rebelling so much about going on this FODMAPs that I went off of my even usual pretty healthy eating and started eating anything and everything that I knew that was bad. I was eating gluten. I ate more gluten probably in 1 month than I have eaten in probably 5 years combined. Like, it was unbelievable. I had zero willpower. And because I've been diving into this IFS, it was fascinating. And I started diving into this IFS and I started trying to talk to this part. Now, the thing about parts is that they're usually protecting you from something. And it sounds so weird. How could a part be protecting me by shoving all these foods that I already know irritate my gut, what's making my gut even worse, when a naturopath is suggesting I do something to try to start working on figuring out what's irritating my gut? And that's actually something I'm diving into. I'll explain all of that to you in the next episode. But in this episode, I just want to explain two examples of how this works. So once I dove in and I was able to, as weird as it sounds, have a conversation with this part, I found out that it was protecting me because when I was in my early 20s, I decided that I wanted to do fitness competitions. So I went on this really strict diet. I was undertraining. I was overtraining and undereating. It was very unhealthy. I, at this time too, like 30 years ago, I mean, I don't actually know what that world is like now for natural fitness competitions, but I was working with a bodybuilder that did steroids. So the things that he was doing to me, the steroids and the drugs in him was able to process, was able to actually help heal his body and stuff, his muscles, whereas mine couldn't. It was horrible. My body crashed. That is the start of all of my burnout. Like, I can go back and see that I had smaller things before them, but that was my biggest burnout crash. And I have never, ever been able to work out much since then. Not to the same degree or intensity that I could before doing fitness competitions. And my background is as a personal trainer. And that was my identity. So when I started talking to this part and I found out that when I was doing such restrictive eating for fitness competitions, my whole body system crashed, and that's what it was remembering. And it did not want that to happen again. So it was having the opposite effect and was like, no, you're not doing that. I am going to protect you. That's not what's happening. And you know, you're going to eat. So I had a chat with them and we figured it out. And I actually didn't want to do FODMAP. So I was like, well, why don't we try to do a couple of other things that I feel might help my gut through. This was another thing too. I wasn't trusting myself in a lot of the knowledge and stuff that I have gained through all of my research and training and courses that I've taken. And so I wasn't listening to what I actually knew that my body needed. And so with talking with this part, it was okay if I didn't fully go FODMAPs and I worked on this other strategy first. And it eased up and I stopped eating all that crap. I stopped having all of those cravings. I was sneaking downstairs. We had boxes for Halloween of chips and chocolate bars. And I was sneaking downstairs and eating and eating and eating them, like a lot. And the stuff I would normally never do. And that all stopped once I was able to communicate with this part. And it's just, it's fascinating once you start doing this and you start realizing, oh, there was a trauma in my past. And that trauma created a protector in my body. And now that protector is protecting me anytime that it feels that I'm in that situation again. Even though this was a different situation, we're trying to figure out gut issues. It was totally different. It was monitored by a naturopath, all of these things. And in the training, the manual that I was given by the naturopath, it said, you should not be hungry. You need to eat on this diet. Make sure you are getting enough food, even though you're eliminating these foods. Make sure you're getting enough of the other foods that you can eat. So even though it was different, that pattern in me was like, mm-mm, that's not happening. And so it's just so fascinating the more that I dive into IFS. I have realized as well, I'll give you more of an explanation on this as well when we get into the episode that I have coming up in this mini series on how your parts can affect your stress levels. But with me as well, because of that crash that happened when I did those fitness competitions, and I haven't fully worked through this protector yet, but that protector has been actually lowering my cortisol levels to the point where my body crashes and I can't do anything if it feels that I am pushing too hard in a workout. And that's where I use health trackers, and I can tell with a health tracker if I've pushed too much, like realistically pushed too much, or if like where I'm pushing and what I'm doing and how my body's healing, that I can monitor that so that even if I was in the beginning stages of getting into burnout, it would let me know. If my body is like one day of its struggle to recover, that tracker will tell me. So I already have things in place for this, but that part didn't realize. So it was adjusting my cortisol and lowering my cortisol so that I actually couldn't function, so that my body would crash. It's just so fascinating when we start going into these parts. There were things that, because of just things that happened in life to me, where I felt I wasn't good enough, where I wasn't smart enough. Now, these don't have to be big traumas. So one example was in grade five. I recall that we were supposed to spell, I couldn't spell this one word, and I learned later it had a silent letter. And I remember going up to the teacher's desk and she'd be like, no, that's not it. Go back and do it. And she did this to me so many times. And I'm sitting there, I was at my desk crying and thinking, I am so stupid. How can I not spell this? If I go back and look at things, I was actually like, I was a straight A student. Things just really came easy for me, that I think this was one of those times where, first times for me, where I just felt I was so stupid and so dumb and couldn't do anything. That when I went back to some of the parts for not being smart enough, that one kicks in, that memory kicks in, that neural pathway in my brain kicks in from that memory. Now, did the teacher even know that I was in tears at my desk? I'm not sure. I did not like that teacher. She was not the most empathetic teacher that I'd ever had. And I do recall during that year feeling very stupid, very dumb, very not listened to, not good And so that can really affect you later on in life. There were definitely other things that I'm not at a point in my healing or my life where I want to open up about that also instilled that I don't feel smart enough and I'm not good enough. They're too personal to me at this moment to share live with everybody in this world. But I do know that those things stopped me from moving forward in my business in certain ways, from making certain decisions in my business, and from keeping for always like keeping my business at a level where I was small. It also did affect me when I started this podcast. I was working under a lot of different parts that were telling me that I had to be very cautious as to what I said so that there wasn't any backlash. But I've come to realize now that I'm not going to ever please everybody. And there are going to be some things that I'm going to say that somebody else's part may rear its head and have a negative reaction that they want to share with me in maybe a not so kind way. And I'm okay with that now because I have come to understand how much work I have put into understanding all that I do know about sleep and stress and resilience and the body and what it means and the mental side and diving into all these courses I've done on IFS just to teach it with my clients, but also to do the work on myself. I've gotten to that point with it that I'm okay, but it is amazing when I go back and realize how much it stopped me in my life. There's, I know, a situation with a mom where she had one part that felt that she had to do everything for her kids or she wasn't a good mom. And then she had this other part that told her she wasn't being a good mom because she wasn't teaching her kids how to be independent. And these two parts were bouncing off of one another and making her constantly feel like she couldn't stop and couldn't relax. And so it stopped her from struggling to get that time for her in her day. It's just so fascinating how these parts have come up. An example with my son, my oldest son's going through puberty and my youngest has been struggling with the fact that my oldest smells a little different some days. He's getting the deodorant thing down and the showering thing, but it's a work in progress. But he's still, his hormones, he just actually, his body chemistry does smell different a little bit. And he is looking different. He's grown like a foot. He's looking different. And so my younger son was getting really worried. He started more like poking and prodding my oldest and yelling at him for things, getting mad at him, bothering him on things, hitting him sometimes, kicking him. And so we had a chat one day with his parts. And it did come out that there's a part of him that isn't liking the smells of his brother and the changes in him. And it's worried that he's going to lose his brother and his brother's not going to want to hang out with him anymore. Not realizing that every time he was poking and prodding and hitting his brother, that was causing him to not want to be around him anymore. So what we realized is that this part, instead of telling this part, hey, you need to stop. Hey, you need to change, which he was in CBT therapy for a year where to help deal with his anger outbursts and anxiety and stuff. And it was okay, when you have anxiety, let's stop it by doing this. When you have anger, let's stop it by doing that. And we'd always say, stop doing that to him, which is not actually acknowledging that these parts are trying to protect him from something. And as I've changed my language with him, and it's like, okay, you're struggling with him. How can I help with this? Like, what is it that you need? What are you trying to get? Or what are you afraid will happen if you don't bother him? And he was afraid that his brother wouldn't want to spend time with him. So I was like, okay. And he wanted attention from his brother. So we talked about, what if instead of hitting him or kicking him or yelling, you hugged him? And so we started doing it. Like, I actually forgot about the conversation, but then my husband came home from curling the one day with the kids. And he's like, wow, the younger one kept hugging the older one all day. But the older one also requested to practice on the same sheet of ice with him and spend time with him because of how much he's been affectionate towards him. So, in changing the behavior, the younger one started getting what he wanted and needed. And the older one started wanting to be around him more, which was giving him what he wanted and needed by changing how he asked, by changing his job. We say these parts can kind of change what their job is or their role, the way that they protect you. It's really fascinating how this affects everything. And if we start looking at this from a sleep and stress point of view, like honestly, my son starting to lash out at my other son is a stress for me too. It's a stress for all everyone in the family. And now that stress is not there. It's there sometimes still, but not at all. Like it has drastically changed. And it's just fascinating because of my discovery of parts that this has been happening. There's so many other changes in our house, in our home. I am currently doing a intimacy from the inside out, which is about relationships in IFS. So it's like relationships with my husband, but it's also relationships with parents, relationships with kids, relationships with friends in using the internal family systems thing. So I'm doing that course right now. It's a 6-month course. I just finished a huge course on protectors, and I'm diving into one on exiles, which those are coming up into next episodes. But yeah, the more that I'm diving into this IFS, I'm realizing it has been a big piece of the puzzle in when my clients are feeling like there's something wrong with them, like they're failing, like they're not, they want, part of them wants to work on their sleep, wants to work on their strategies, wants to really just, oh man, just they want to feel better. They want to wake up with energy, wake up feeling recharged, wake up and have that bandwidth to tolerate all the stress that's thrown at them in their day, have extra time and energy for themselves. And this parts piece is a piece. It is that piece that helps with the blocks so that the other tools and strategies you can start implementing. So just, I really am reiterating with this that there's always so many pieces to this puzzle, and this has been one big piece that I am finding was missing in my clients. And as I've added this piece, the others are starting to fall in place as well. So I just want you to realize from this that there is nothing wrong with you. And it really is parts of you that are protecting you. And we need to learn why they're protecting you, which is what will get us into our next episode that I'm going to go into, which is actually understanding your protectors. So we're going to dive into that. So jump over to the next episode if it's already out. If not, it'll be out in a few days. I'm putting these in on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays quickly for you guys so that you can dive in and really understand in this mini series about the part that IFS plays in our sleep and our stress. All right, that's it for today's episode, and I will see you in the next. Wait, before you go, if you found this podcast valuable, please consider liking and subscribing. Your support helps others discover these insights too. And if you're ready to transform your sleep and stress management and would like to see if we are a good fit with one another, let's chat. The link to my calendar is in the show notes below. Let's connect and start your journey to calm nights and strong days now. Until next time, sleep peacefully and stay resilient.